Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
Hey! Coast to coast, no matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed from Monday's action. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show, but we want to hear it from you, the fan. And if you don't want to tell me via the text line, you can always tell me on social media at Mr. Cole Thompson. The wonderful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun hour planned ahead. Fortunately, we got to talk about the unsatisfying ruling that was the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. What to make of the absolute final deadline with Juan Soto as the MLB trade deadline comes to a close. And Tubi Tuesday, it's Bad Movie Explanation. I love this series. I think you love this series. I know a lot of people out there actually like guessing this series. But I start the hour off today with this. Every morning I wake up and I get to come into the studio, the sweet and wonderful Michael Hernandez tells me something just beautiful that I don't understand. And one thing that he said this morning in our conversation up the stairwell was talking about gaming and streaming. Now, for those of you who don't understand what the YouTube streaming is, you basically film yourself playing Call of Duty or Modern Warfare or NFL, or Madden, or MLB The Show, whoever it is, and you watch that player either get crushed or crush it, and they get paid millions of dollars to do that. Michael, let me ask out of curiosity. If I buy the game, and I play the game, why would I want to see someone get paid millions of dollars to do what I'm doing for free?
Entertainment.
Yeah, no.
Exactly the same way as real sports.
No. I get the entertainment aspect. How is that entertaining me?
It's entertainment the way they're actually entertaining me, like saying jokes and stuff, kidding around and stuff like that, apart from just the gaming.
So you're basically saying that what I'm paying for is the ambiance of the guy absolutely reacting to his own failures as a player.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but why am I paying a lot of money to watch the good streamers? I would rather watch the guys who are really, really bad. That, to me, that's where you get a lot of things. And that's, I think, where you win.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Yeah, I would go back to what we said when we first acquired Deshaun. I would tell, and that hasn't changed. I feel incredible empathy for anyone who's been impacted by this decision. It's something that I don't take lightly. I've spoken to women in our organization. I've spoken to women in the community, and that's something that I'll continue to do. And our fans, whether you're a man or a woman, our fans are really important to us. So I want to make sure that they understand that and that they're never going to be dismissed in any way.
That being Kevin Stefanski of the Cleveland Browns talking of the ruling that was Deshaun Watson. 800-224-2004, call to the show. Let's talk about the upcoming suspension, reality factor, and ramifications that will follow due to the Deshaun Watson fallout. So for those of you who don't know what's been going on with this, what is the now game plan? What is following with the ruling? Sue L. Robinson, she's a former district judge. She has worked for a very, very, very long time in this process, has come out and said that Deshaun Watson will be suspended for 6 games going into the 2022 season after further evaluation to the court findings. That was the necessary needs. Whether or not you believe that this was the necessary process of how we were supposed to go about the whole Deshaun Watson situation, we can all admit it was definitely an underwhelming thought process. 800-224-2004. So here's what I mean by that. When you think back to the whole process of Deshaun Watson, when this whole thing started back in really March of 2021, we kind of had a thought that he was going to get somewhat of a monumental suspension. And one of the main reasons why was because of the number of cases. This is not me deciding on who is right, who is wrong. You know, I've made it abundantly clear where I stand on the Watson camp side. But what I mean by this is there was going to be a speculation that moving forward, the NFL or the NFLPA was going to make a standard out of Watson so none of this ever happened again. Keep in mind that if you go look back at the number of games suspended for certain allegations such as this, six is the notion. Ben Roethlisberger back in, I think it was 2008. I think 2008 was the year that he got charged. Was found not guilty, but he was brought up on same kind of charges, not criminal charges, but civil charges on one case, one allegation against his name. He had an six game suspension, appealed it, got it down to four. In 2017. The same incident happened with Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas. Well, he got 6-game suspension. The problem here was Deshaun Watson at one point had 25 allegations made against his name. Not only that, the New York Times released a published notion that Watson met with up to 65 massage therapists. 65. Let me rephrase that word one more time. 65. Before actually settling on the cases over a span of 18 months. Watson and his allegations and his overall demeanor came off as creepy, came off as misogynistic, came off as a negative nuance that just fluttered up negativity surrounding his actual name. It felt like that the league was going to make not a lesson out of him, but they were going to show, we are moving forward and we are believing our women fan base. We are going out here and we are defending our largest clientele in the growing demographic. This is not a me saying, oh, the sport is growing in this process. This is a fact. The women demographic has now taken over the NFL. You're seeing more and more and more women fans defend their love of the sport. And this kind of notion certainly hampers the overall image of the NFL. It's why it's important that Roger Goodell handles this case in such a delicate yet decisive manner for both the league's aspect and for a national perspective aspect. What do I mean by that part? Well, in Deshaun Watson's case, he has a 6-game suspension. That was decided on by Sue L. Robinson. The NFLPA could, of course, elect to appeal it. I don't think that they will, because 6 games was not what they were really thinking. Most people around the league, when I first heard about this and when it was first being brought up, after he wasn't indicted by 2 different grand juries, said, okay, well, he's probably not going to get a year. Realistically, that's what we as the NFL want. Realistically, we're expecting about 12 games. And as it drug out a little bit further, it drug out a little bit more, there was more of a notion of, okay, this is why we're going to go with this, why we have to go further into the investigation. It felt like it was moving down to 8 games. And then on, I think it was Friday, I got a text message and someone said, be ready, Watson's suspension is going to be under 8 games. The notion now was, okay, well, the NFL can come back and they can counter. This doesn't mean that they can absolutely just suspend Watson for a full year. I don't think you're going to see that happen. Because if you do, the NFLPA is going to sue in favor of Watson. And the reason they're going to do that is because they know that they're going to have a case. Now, Roger Goodell doesn't want this, because if Roger Goodell does get sued by the NFLPA and the league does deal with these ramifications, it takes away from the actual regular season. And we are now almost 19 months into the process of dealing with Watson and the BS and the drama and the situation that has unfolded along with his name. Why is that important? Because when you look moving forward, there has to be a common ground. You need to be able to make sure that it's not a 6-game suspension, because it would be an absolute joke to say that 25 women allegations, that 25 women corroborated a story against a 3-time Pro Bowl quarterback because what, they were bored? Because what, they actually thought that, oh, they wanted to ruin a player's life? Oh, what, because the Texans paid them to do this? We're going to really believe that notion. Give me a break. You can't tell me for one second these 25 women all sat down in a room and said, let's go after one quarterback, one name, one person. Can't tell me that that's actually a thought process. But the other reality factor is that if the NFLPA doesn't like the ruling by Roger Goodell, this is going to take over precedent throughout the regular season. It's going to take away from the upcoming year. And this is a monumental year, I think, in football. Because if you really do look at the teams, especially in the AFC and the moves made this offseason, this could be one of the rigorous and most competitive conferences we have seen in quite some time. And that's a reality factor that I don't think enough people are paying attention to. And when you don't have that type of competitive nature being brought up in the spotlight, it means that there's something else taking precedent over it. That'd be the Deshaun Watson case. It's not an easy, simple, cut, clear-cut notion saying, okay, we as the NFL want to suspend Watson for a full year. Yes, that should be the actual case. That should be the actual notion. It should be very, very easy for the likes of them to do. But that's not going to happen that way. And it's very hard to make it happen that way because of now other parties are getting involved. Other parties are going to have a voice. They're going to have a say. But Roger Goodell has to also understand, while his job is to protect the league and its owners, it's also to protect the league's image. How does not defending the likes of Deshaun Watson's actual suitors and victims giving a positive light to the NFL? It doesn't, especially with its newest, emerging, promising demographic in the success and growth of women fans. You're not giving them a voice. You're not giving them a notion. You're not helping them actually show that you care if you do nothing. But anyone out there who thinks that Deshaun Watson is going to get a four-year suspension, you're out of your mind. The NFLPA and Sue Robinson made sure that that was not going to be the case. To me personally, this six-game suspension never was enough. 12-game suspension never was going to be enough. A year-long suspension never was going to be enough, at least for me. It just was not going to work. But it does for the NFLPA. There has to now be a middle ground. And the reason there does have to be a middle ground is because if not, well, this is going to take over the entire league process. This is going to be another problem. This is going to be something that continues to fill our airways, our streams, all of that other stuff. And we can't have that happen during the regular season. Roger Goodell doesn't want that. The NFLPA doesn't want that. And to be fair, I really don't think fans want it either. Because when you do look, they are excited for the upcoming year. But you can't go into this season and say, yep, six games. That's what we think of 25 women and their allegations. Six games. Five women per game will be represented in that. It just can't happen. And you know what? What I do appreciate is other coaches speaking out about this as well. They see the issues. They see the flaws. And John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens, a rival, might have said it best on how teams should be looking at this moving forward.
It's a great question, and I do have a lot of opinions on it. I'm not liberty to share them at this time, but that's for the league to decide. I respect what Steve Bisciotti has created here and Dick Cass really almost 10 years ago. And basically what we decided, Steve and Dick decided, and we all... we're all still here. Ozzy, Eric, Pat Moriarty, that were involved in that. And basically, we're kind of a zero tolerance. I mean, you got to know the truth. You got to try to understand the circumstances. But we've stayed away from that particular situation. When we draft players, when we sign them as free agents, we just haven't dealt with it. And that's Steve's decision, and I'm glad we have that policy.
Certain aspects, certain notions, certain names around the league, there's a reason why Deshaun Watson was only added by certain teams. I can guarantee you, the backlash that's going to come to Cleveland right now is not going to be positive. I can tell you what else. There's a lot of teams out there that probably feel very happy and content that they believed that Watson was not a good fit for their culture and not a good fit for their organization long term. Certainly, a team like Baltimore is one of them. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, I thought that John Harbaugh said something very interesting earlier this week on the situation going on with Lamar Jackson. 800-224-2004. This segment brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Bundle it and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So, for those of you that don't know, Lamar Jackson, going through a contract negotiation, he wants to be a part of the process in Baltimore. Baltimore, they want to keep Deshaun. I mean, they want to keep Lamar Jackson. Who wouldn't want to keep Lamar Jackson? He was a guy that got the fifth-year option because the Baltimore Ravens traded up into the first round back in 2018 to keep him under contract for at least the fifth year. So this will be the final year of his rookie deal. He's a former MVP. He also has been a very big factor in the team's run offensive success. Plus, he's a franchise caliber quarterback and arguably a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. So Harbaugh came out. He decided to talk about the contract situation. Here's what he had to say on where these two sides meet in the middle.
Both sides are very motivated to get the job done. And so I feel like that's kind of where it's at. But, Lamar's practicing all day. So it's not like they're going to be in some kind of negotiation all day like they might be in a regular situation. So, that's part of the deal with that.
Both sides, I think, understand that there has to be a common ground. For Lamar's side, they want him to be paid exactly what he's worth. Because, let's be fair, he's a former MVP. He's led his team to the playoffs twice. He was the main reason they got their victory over the Tennessee Titans back in 2020. And if he would have stayed healthy at least maybe two more games last year, who's to say that Baltimore doesn't sneak into the postseason? They certainly would have had an argument to be able to beat up on Pittsburgh late in the season. And that game, which would have been the tiebreaker, would have actually gave Baltimore the playoff berth over the likes of the Steelers, which would have been really, really interesting. So he's a two-time playoff champion. He's an MVP. Plus, when you look at how hard it is to find a franchise-caliber quarterback, there just feels like a notion that he has to get signed. But at the same time, when you look at Baltimore, there's no rush. They know that he's under contract for this year. They also know they can franchise tag him for next year. And if worse comes to worse, if he doesn't want to stick around, what they're going to do is they're going to trade him for top dollar. Do I think that Lamar should sign very soon? Absolutely. I would give him a major deal if I'm just Baltimore and call it a day. But that's not the way the NFL works. What is interesting is that both sides know there is a common ground. And that common ground is staying here in Baltimore past 2022. Coming up next, right here on Just Saying It, Juan Soto trade rumors. It is the trade deadline. Who has the advantage to land the Washington Nationals superstar? We'll talk about that right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 per line for up to four lines with auto pay plus tax and fees, their best price unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family, the network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are only eligible for select promotions, include domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. The MLB trade deadline officially under motion today at 4 p.m. We will know who sits where, which players are on certain rosters, and what teams feel right going down the stretch. 800-224-2004. So I thought this was really interesting, and I thought this was really funny. The Juan Soto sweepstakes continuously has been the subject of conversation for the last, I would say, 2.5-3 weeks in general, but really it's kicked up steam in the last 72 hours more than ever. Now there feels like there's only two teams vying for the all-star outfielder services. And both teams very well could land him. And I think that there's a reason to believe that both teams make a lot of sense. But it is a two-show race at this point. Let's start off with the one team that I feel like probably has the best shot of getting him because of the history, because of where it would be, and also what the trade package could be. That would be the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis doesn't need outfield help. They just want outfield help. And what does that actually mean? Well, the bats they currently have in Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader and I'm blanking on the other guy's name in right field, they're good enough. They're able to be serviceable somewhere in your starting lineup. You don't really need them to be the power bats. You just need them to be that consistency factor. They are the clear-cut favorites in the NL Central, but they need to be the clear-cut favorites in the NL, period. Adding a bat like Juan Soto does that to your outfield. It does that to the top of your lineup, and it gives you a little bit more packaging to where you can look to play with your lineup a bit more. You can have certain power bats sitting in one part of the, you know, one part of the order. You can have another set sitting in the bottom half of the order. But the trade package that apparently what's being reported of what Washington wants is monumentally going to hurt their pitching staff long term. And I don't think that St. Louis wants to do that. They don't want to give up on all their primary pitchers because that's been part of the success of the history of St. Louis. They've been known for having good pitchers. They've also been known for having really solid depth pieces behind the pitching staff to set up plays, keep overall scores down low, and, of course, leading the team deep into the postseason. So you do add Juan Soto. I think they make you the clear-cut favorite to, this year at least, win the World Series or the NL title. Again, I've been very high on St. Louis because of I am a nostalgia player. I've always been a nostalgia name. Losing guys like Yadier Molina, losing guys like Albert Pujols, losing guys like Adam Wainwright after this year, what they've done for the game of baseball, it feels like that they were always going to make the playoffs. It feels like St. Louis should go deep into the postseason as well. Adding Juan Soto clarifies that. The other team that I think is really, really interesting to keep a close eye on moving into the final hours is the San Diego Padres. San Diego made a big splash trade yesterday. They did something so crazy, I did not think it was possible. They added in Josh Hader from the Milwaukee Brewers. Josh Hader, for those of you who don't know, is the best closer in baseball. Is he having somewhat of a down year this year? Perhaps a little. I mean, his ERA's gone up a little bit. His strikeout rate's gone down a little bit. His walk rate is a little bit more increased. His whip has increased a little bit. But he's still the best closer since Mariano Rivera. He's the most consistent one as well. He's now going to San Diego. And in the deal that was in the return to add Hader to the West Coast franchise, Taylor Rogers, Esterny Ruiz, who I think is the number 8 or 9 prospect in their farm system, Denelson Lamet, who is a relief pitcher, and Robert Gasser, who I think has like been a half starter, like he's been in and out of the pros. He hasn't been, though, like a clear-cut, long-term pro guy. Like, that's just what he is. Did you notice that I didn't mention any of the top prospect names? So, the 5 main prospects, if I'm not mistaken, or the 4 main prospects, if I'm not mistaken, for the Padres right now, are C.J. Abrams, Robert Hassel, James Wood, and Jackson Maillard, I think is how you say his last name. They're the top 4 prospects on the team. All 4 still are in the organization. Why is that important? Because if you want to add a guy like a Juan Soto, you're going to have to give up your top 5 prospects or your top 4 prospects and 2 more like your 6th and 9th prospect or your 1st, 2nd, and 3rd prospect, your 5th prospect, your 8th, your 10th, your 12th prospect. It's going to be something like that. You're going to have to give up a bucket load. The fact that you have San Diego that has the payroll and has an aggressive GM like AJ Preller that wants to make moves to the deadline, that wants to compete not for a wild card spot, but an absolute NL West division title spot. They have the pieces to do it. They have Abrams, they have Hassel, they have Wood, they have Mael. All these guys can be moved to add in a bat like the likes of Juan Soto. And you look at the payroll, you look at how San Diego has monitored its payroll and how they've gone about with paying for the right players, they could easily extend Juan Soto the second he touches down San Diego. And he would love to play in San Diego. It's West Coast. They got a good organization as a whole. They have a nice foundation in place. There's a lot to like about San Diego. But the bottom line, I think that there is a trade deal. It's St. Louis, San Diego. That's it.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
He sits on his throne, toying with my emotions, playing with my heart, and making me feel so insecure about everything that I do, especially on today. Trivia Tuesday, right here on Just Saying It, 800-224-2004. So as we do every single week, Michael Hernandez, the sweet Michael Hernandez, has about 10 movies, 10 to 12 movies, depending on how long we get. Usually we do 10. Very badly explained movies. How badly explained? He said that at one point, Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail was about them running into the law enforcement, and like that's like the very last thing at like the very last 30
seconds.
You
will never forget that,
would
you?
No, I will not. No, because that's not what the movie's about. Like, that was so badly described, I got mad for the fans of Monty Python. And I am one of those fans, but trust me, there are bigger fans out there. There's badly explained movies. I gotta guess it. I sometimes get them really, like, really quick, right off the bat. I sometimes don't get it at all. So we kind of sit in that notion. We kind of sit in the middle ground. Michael, let's go ahead, figure it out. What is our first badly explained movie?
Number one, startup business experiences issues during testing phase.
Hold on, what? A startup business what?
Experiences issues during testing phase.
Startup business experiences. Ooh, that's a good one. Startup business. A startup business experiences what?
Issues during testing phase. Final answer.
I have no idea. iRobot? What was it?
Jurassic Park.
That's so... I mean, don't get me wrong. You're not wrong. Like, that's actually one that's like, okay, they are. But that was so badly explained. Like, oh, a startup business. You mean a multi-trillion dollar business to where they've put over two decades of work into finding the right dinosaur blood via molasses-based mosquitoes? Oh, yeah, that's a really big startup business. I'm thinking like a lemonade stand kind of startup business. No. We're going to go with the whole other one. We're going to go with one that costs trillions of dollars. By the way, you know what would have been a better one? A company that says spares no expense actually spares expenses. Because you know the notion?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because if you remember in the movie, like Hammond saying, we spared no expense at fixing the dinosaurs. Well, you didn't know that they could switch down DNA and then create female anatomy to male anatomy and then have eggs living out in the wild. Yeah, that was one that you didn't put any more expense to. Yeah, whatever.
Number two, a garbage collector takes up gardening.
A garbage collector takes up gardening. I feel like I should know this one. Like, this is one I actually feel like I should know. Is it animated?
No questions. Kind of make this stuff funny.
You know what? I'm going to go with my gut. Is it Wally? Boom. Boom. I had to think about that for a minute. I had to think about that because you know what the scene is that I thought of? The very end when you see that little sprout come up.
Yeah. From, what was it? The boot or something?
I think it's from the boot.
Yeah.
That was what gave it away. I'm like, oh, God. Because you got to remember, he hits a garbage collector. Like, it's such a sad movie when you think of the premise of it. Hey, send this robot with no feelings, except he has a ton of feelings and he makes a lot of people cry at the very end. Down to earth, pick up garbage. Get on it! And then you just see a little flower grow at the very end.
Is it supposed to be a post-apocalyptic movie?
No, I don't know if it's supposed to be a post-apocalyptic or if it's like, oh, there was no longer food on earth, so that's where they went to space.
So they left.
But they left. That was the whole point. They left earth. To go there.
I was so confused when I watched that the first time, but...
Yeah. Number, I get it.
What was that?
I get it. I understand.
Number three. A man destroys his hometown.
A man destroys his home. I think I have it. And you want to know why I think I have it? I just watched it. I think like, what was it? I think it was on Saturday. Like when I was unloading boxes, I think it was just playing in my background. Is it Thor Ragnarok? Yeah. Yeah. It gave it away. Because if here was the thing. I was watching it. I remember Odin saying, Asgard is not a place. It's a society. It's its people. You don't need Asgard. It's like, oh, that's not true. You need a planet. Yeah, you need a planet to survive. And then you see the whole thing blow up from afar. If the foundation's good, we can come back and always rebuild. Boom! Ah, never mind. That's gone. I love that movie so much.
Was it even a planet?
Wasn't it?
It was just like a plane. Wasn't it?
Well, they had to take the sky bridge or whatever it was.
Because the waterfall just fall over. It's a flat earth.
Yeah, no, don't let Kyrie Irving see that movie. Like, just seriously, man.
Maybe that's where he got his information from.
How have they not let him make a cameo in that at that point? Come on! You know that there was at least one person sitting inside that press room going, let's just think about this, guys. At least we can offer him. And then we push him off the waterfall. Let's see what happens. I would pay a lot of money to watch that.
That would be funny.
I would pay a lot of money to watch that.
Question number 4. A committee spends an entire afternoon trying to agree on some facts.
I think I have it. I actually think I have this one. I don't know why this keeps coming up. You're saying a committee spends an entire afternoon arguing?
Agreeing on some facts.
Agreeing on facts. Yes. Okay, agreeing on facts. Okay, now I have some questions. I'm going to stick with my gut. Is it 12 angry men? Yeah, okay. The committee part was what I thought I had. And then agreeing on facts, it's the very end. Oh, they're all trying to either agree that he's guilty or not guilty. And then there's the one dude who stands up. Oh, he didn't do it. No, that's not possible. That couldn't be the case. And that leads to the whole other argument. Have you ever seen the movie, by the way?
Is it in black and white?
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw it in high school.
If I'm not mistaken. It's a very well put movie because what it's saying is don't judge a book by its cover. Like, I get the message behind it and how one person can make a true difference in someone's life. But, like, I don't know. They made a play of it, too. I think the play is so much better than the movie.
I only remember it. Why? Because they were all sweaty.
Oh, yeah, because back then, because they're all in the...
And they were just sweating. Like, they just played the NBA Finals or something. That's the only reason I remember that movie.
That's the reason you remember? Just sweat? All right, 8 Mile. I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. Like,
I don't even remember what the movie's about or anything. I just know they're stuck. They're talking, and I just see them sweating.
Yeah, so you've seen the movie. The movie's about a murder trial. Like, did he commit it? Did he commit it? And I forget the main character's name. He is against everyone, and he has to convince all other 11 members the guy doesn't do it. Like, that's the entire movie.
Question number 5. Young woman hijacks her sister's opportunity to be cast in a television show.
Don't even do the buzzer. I know this one. I already know this one. It's Hunger Games.
Bing!
Yeah, I knew that one. The fact when you said TV show, I was like, oh, I forget they play it on TV. I forget they, like, hey, all nations, or was it, were they tribes?
It was 12... Not nations.
Are they
districts?
Districts. Districts. That was it. And they all played on the television of the districts.
Do you think they subscribe to that? They pay a monthly fee or something like that?
No, it's streaming services. Hey, you want to watch your district person die? Yeah, all right. Here you go. $9.99 a month.
Imagine. Oh, my God.
Plus taxes. So really like $10.42. By the way, if it does, and by the way, no credit cards. We have to use your
District
credits.
12 couldn't afford it. So.
District 12 could not afford it.
Yeesh. Question number 6. Teacher enlists the help of a student to get a house inherited by a relative.
Teacher, can you say that again?
Teacher enlists the help of a student to get a house inherited by a relative.
Okay. I know for a fact it's not Dead Poets Society, because that's not what the movie's about. Bad teacher would not work because of, in that movie, it's all about her getting a boob job. It isn't School of Rock, because that's about him winning Battle of the Bands. I have no idea. I really have no...
Final answer.
I'll go School of Rock. I know it's wrong, but I'll go School of Rock. Yeah, what was it?
It's Matilda.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That is about a sweet little girl who has magical powers. That is what that movie's about. And she has to deal with evil parents and the son of a gun, Miss Trunchbull. That is what that movie's about. It is not about her. Oh, because the Miss Honey gets her house back from Trunchbull, because Trunchbull was technically her stepmom. Oh, wow. You think you're so clever over there, don't you, Michael? Sitting on your throne of lies. I see what you're doing.
Question number 7.
No, question number 7. And why did you lie to me?
Question number 7.
How dare you?
A teenager flirts with an amateur filmmaker while her parents' marriage collapses.
A teenager
flirts with an amateur filmmaker while her parents' marriage collapses.
Oh, this is such a bad movie. Like, this movie has aged so poorly. Oh, God, it's American Beauty, isn't it? I said it's American Beauty. Oh, God, have you ever seen it?
I don't even know what that movie is.
It's with Kevin Spacey. Yeah, Kevin, you don't know who Kevin Spacey is?
I know who Kevin Spacey is.
It's with Kevin Spacey, and it's with one of the chicks from American Pie. Have you ever seen American Pie?
Which one?
The first one.
Oh, yeah.
You know Oz, who joins the choir?
Oh, yeah.
The girl who's in the choir. Ah, okay. That one. It's her. And it ends horrifyingly. It is such a weird ending. Oh, God. Like the second you said teenager with film, that memory came up. There's like a scene in there where he's filming. Oh, it's so weird. That movie has aged so badly. Like, so, so badly.
Question number 8. Reality TV star wants to go on a holiday.
It can't be this easy. It can't be this easy. A reality TV star wants to go on a holiday.
Yes.
It's The Truman Show.
Final answer?
It's The Truman Show. I know it's The Truman Show. Yeah, and it gave it away when you said reality star wants to go on holiday, because there's a scene where he wants to leave town. They're like, oh, you can't leave. We need you at work today. Oh, you can't leave. I'm pregnant. And then it's like it goes through the process, and then you finally see it. By the way, that is his second best movie, Jim Carrey, in my opinion. That is number 2. And that is his second best drama movie. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's his best drama. No, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is without question his number 1 best drama.
Question number 9. A man tries to retrieve a valued possession of his mother's that he believes was stolen by a man she was having an affair with.
A man tries to retrieve a valuable possession from his mother's? Is that what he said?
Possession of his mother's that he believes was stolen by a man she was having an affair with.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's one of my favorite movies, too. Are you serious? Serious? Whatever. I'm not even going to argue that one.
Question number 10. 2 factory workers attempt to cover up a serious violation.
2 factory workers attempt to... I'm going to go with a shot in the dark here, because I think I have it. Is it a 2319? A 2319? Monsters, Inc.? Yeah, it's Monsters, Inc., right? Boom.
It is.
What did I finish with? Did I get 7?
7 out of 10.
I will take it. I will take 7 out of 10 on badly explained movies, because they were really badly explained by you, Michael, right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Sometimes the jokes just write themselves, and karma at least has a funny way of getting back at people. 800-224-2004. This really isn't karma. It is just really, really funny that this is going to happen. So, for those of you that don't know, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray has now been diagnosed with COVID-19 and has to quarantine for the next 5 days. He is double vaccinated. He does have the booster. But after hearing the whole process of him having to go home and study film for 4 hours, like, the very first thing that popped into most people's heads was, oh, gonna have plenty of time to study at home, Michael. Don't need to worry about Twitch streaming or playing Call of Duty. No. Go ahead and do your film study, my friend. You have at least 4 hours on hand. Like, let's be real. Come on. Like, how did you not think of that, like, the very first thing?
Imagine if he could have done, like, his contract just says, just do 4 hours for a year and just knock it out on the first day.
Oh, dude. That's immediately what I would do. Make sure you have 4 hours of film over a span of 52 weeks. All right, bet. Lay in bed, watch film nonstop for 5 straight days while quarantining. Hey, man, you know how you said I had to have all these hours before the start of 52 weeks? Turned in. Pay me my money.